Well, let's go out to Halas Hall and welcome another good friend of the show. That's Larry Mayer from ChicagoBears.com. Larry, we just heard Vic Fangio singing the praises of his rookie safety, Eddie Jackson. Eddie was, we didn't see a whole lot of him in a couple of games in the middle of the season, but it looks like he's going to finish his rookie season very strong.
I definitely agree, guys. It was a huge day for the Bears rookie class, including fourth-round draft pick Eddie Jackson. Made two great plays. He generated two takeaways, second time this season he's done that. Only Mark Carrier has done that before him. And the interception was tremendous, but the play that he made on A.J. Green to rip the ball out of his hands, stay in bounds and recover it, it was so good that basically nobody saw it. That's why they had to review it. The replay came back. They changed the call, and it was a great play, and it just shows you the type of playmaking ability and ball skills that he showed while he was at Alabama, and that's something the Bears saw on tape. That's something the Bears really liked. As you guys know, the only reason that Eddie Jackson slipped to the fourth round is because he broke his leg returning a punt last year, and he wasn't 100% obviously going into the draft. It could be the steal of the draft, though, the way this kid has performed, and he looks like the type of player that's going to be a great safety to the Bears for years to come.
Yeah, you know, they're getting good play out of him, and I think excellent play out of Kyle Fuller this season. Let's talk about him a little bit, because we've mentioned him before in the past, his situation. Where do you think things stand right now for Kyle Fuller and this team going forward?
Well, it's been a really incredible resurgent season for him. I know he took a lot of flack last year when he missed the whole season following the arthroscopic knee surgery. He's really bounced back. He had a great early part of the season. Went into a slump there for a couple weeks, but now he's come back and really played strong. He doesn't have the interceptions really to his credit, but he's always around the ball. It seems like he had three pass breakups against the Bengals. He really held A.J. Green intact there and really held him down. I believe he only caught five passes on 12 targets, which is pretty incredible. He's been consistent, and it's going to be really interesting to see going forward what the Bears want to do, whether they want to re-up him right now during the season before it ends or wait till the offseason and let him hit free agency. It's going to be really interesting to see because the cornerback position is one that always draws a lot of interest in the offseason. And Kyle Fuller, like I said, has had a resurgent season and looks to be a player that's really entering his prime right now after he got past that knee injury.
Larry, how about Lamar Houston coming back? You know, it was interesting. The Bears had to let him go because of a numbers problem at the linebacker position. Now, all of a sudden, so many injuries at the linebacker spot, they were happy to see Houston was available on the waiver wire. He's made an impact since he's returned, but are there any hard feelings between Houston and the front office?
I don't think so at all. I mean, this is a guy, like you said, it was a numbers situation. He hurt his knee in the final preseason game, so he wasn't going to be able to play. They put him on injury reserve, and then they released him. He hooked on with the Houston Texans, played pretty well in five games with the Texans, and the timing was perfect in that the Bears had some injuries at the position. They lost Leonard Floyd. Pernell McPhee was hurt with his knee, so they brought Lamar Houston, and he's had a sack in each of the last two games, and he's really contributed. And also the good news now is that it looks like Pernell McPhee, who's off the injury report, will be coming back, so you're going to have some more depth and talent at that position. And they're going to need it on Saturday because Matthew Stafford is a very good quarterback, and the Lions love to throw the football.
Yeah, they do. You know, one of the things that's going to help, too, though, is if they're able to get some pass rush. And I'm kind of wondering what's happening with Eddie Goldman. Is he going? You think he's going to be able to come out for this ball game? Or is it maybe Bullard's going to be in there? Who's going to be in his place if Eddie can't go?
Well, the positive situation is that while he didn't play last week, he was limited in practice today, and he's questionable, which means there's a 50-50 chance he's going to play. That's a lot better than last week when he was doubtful and then ruled out for the game. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on Saturday when they announce the inactives. If he doesn't play, I expect John Jenkins to get more time at the nose tackle position. And also Jonathan Bullard, he's already been playing a lot, will get more snaps too on defense. And they've had a lot of injuries on defense, the defensive line especially. I know Mitch Unrein's another guy that they were counting on that's on injured reserve right now. So a lot of opportunities for the young guys like Roy Robertson-Harris and also Jonathan Bullard to show what they can do over the last quarter of the season.
Yeah, you know, and you look at, you know, when you're playing against a team like Detroit and Matthew Stafford, you know, I always like to look at what do you think the key thing is. And I'm going to go this week and look at the pressure that they get on him and just upsetting him and making him, you know, dash around the pocket a little bit. If they can do that, they'll be successful, I think, from a secondary standpoint. But they really need to get some heat on him.
They absolutely do. And, you know, he's thrown four interceptions in his last three games, which is kind of – uncharacteristic of him. I've always said, and I said this on the show that we did before the first Lions game, I think he's one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the league. He's eighth in passer rating right now, and he put up a 120.2 in his first game against the Bears this year. That was his highest passer rating in 15 career games against the Bears. He always seems to play well against them, though, and like you said, he's got a strong arm, and unlike earlier in his career when he made some forced throws and made some errors, I think he's really eliminated those types of things, and he's one of the best quarterbacks that they're going to face. And you're right, Jiggs, they need to pressure him to force some turnovers.
The Lions really haven't been that consistent in trying to run the ball, Larry. Amir Abdullah didn't play last week. He's expected to return for this game against the Bears. Theo Riddick got a heavy workload last week. Can the Bears shut down that run game and kind of make Detroit a one-dimensional team?
Well, you know they better, and you said that they haven't really done much. They rank last in the NFL in rushing, the Lions do. The interesting thing, though, is that they usually stick with the run a little bit. Those two guys that you mentioned had 20 carries in the first meeting against the Bears. So they're going to hand the ball off, and they're going to try to pop a big run. But generally speaking, I think the Bears are going to be able to make them one-dimensional. That's something that's important to do, but that doesn't mean they're going to be able to shut down Stafford as well. So they need to go into the game, make them one-dimensional, and also pressure Matthew Stafford.
You know, another interesting thought in looking at the pass rush against Matthew Stafford, I'm thinking, you know, maybe a little bit of that smush rush might be the key to stopping him, because he's one of those guys that seems like he gets the ball and it's coming out pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. He's going to make his decision pretty quickly. So I'm talking about the middle of the field, you know, those guys making sure they get their hands up in those passing alleys, because you're not necessarily going to always get to him, but you want to affect his pass down, his vision down the field. And that's what I mean by the smush rush. Push up and then get your hands up and try to block him.
It's a really good point, Jiggs, because he does get rid of the ball very quickly. He throws a lot of slants to Golden Tate over the middle. So that's something that maybe like Bryce Callahan, the nickelback, is going to have to be looking for in the game on Saturday. But you're right, they need to pressure the guy. And another thing that he does is that he extends plays with his feet. I think he's underrated as a mobile kind of guy that can throw the ball. He reminds me a little bit about Jay Cutler in terms of the way he has a shotgun for an arm and can keep plays alive. He would also, like I said, throw some interceptions earlier in his career. He doesn't really do that as much, but he is a dangerous player to go against, and the Bears are going to have their hands full on Saturday.
How is that paw of his? You know, he had his hand stepped on a couple of weeks ago. Is that 100%?
I don't know if it's 100%. A player once told me that you're only 100% the day you're born, and then every day after that, you're not even close.
Yeah,
so
true
I'm
that.
Sure he's still, hurting, but he's shown the ability to throw the ball in the last couple of weeks, doing a fine job of that. They're going to be playing indoors, no wind or no weather to concern him. So I think he's going to be just fine, and the Bears need to get after him.
You know, earlier this week, it was kind of a sad moment for a lot of people when they finally took down the old Silver Dome. I was cheering myself. Bye.
I don't know. Jiggs, you weren't thinking about Dave Williams running down the sidelines in the 1980 Thanksgiving Day game? I mean, that's what I'm thinking about.
No, I had a couple other things cross my mind when I look at the Silver Dome. The Davey Williams thing was great, don't get me wrong. But I have a few other things that I had issues with that building.
I guess now's your chance, Larry, to bring up Al Bubba Baker.
Take it easy, man. I thought you guys were going to. Come on.
I was just going to say, I promised Jiggs that I would not say the name of number 60 that we used to wear with the Detroit Lions ever again, because it reminds him of bad memories. I'm just going to think about Davey Williams, Vince Evans, Walter Payton, and Reeve Sori, Noah Jackson, all those guys.
It was a fine day. It indeed was.
It was awfully kind of you to leave that out, and I had to bring it up.
Yeah,
Larry,
thanks,
thank
Mark.
You so much for joining us. Safe travels to the Motor City, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Larry Mayer joining us from Halas Hall. He stuck true to his word.
He did.
Because he usually likes to get that shot in.
And then
you know?
Dog me.
I mean, well, you know, I had to set him up. I could see he wanted to say something.
Yeah.